Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Your Thursday edition from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in beautiful Oak Grove. Looking out the window, not a cloud in the sky. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dino Mixon, we're all in the Southern Bancorp Studio. I'm glad to bring you another edition of the Eagle Hour. Opening segment is sponsored every day by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Today, no different. Be a great place to go eat some brisket tonight or maybe some barbecue pork. It's always good. Next time you got a big event, baseball just around the corner, back home again before you know it, that would be a great place to call for all your catering needs. Dickie's Barbecue. They do such a really good job. We appreciate their support very much.
Unfortunately, Bob, to open the show with some bad news from the Sun Belt Conference, specifically Old Dominion. Two people are injured, and the gunman is dead after a live shooter today at Old Dominion. The shooter was actually killed by law enforcement after they opened fire at about 10:50 this morning, our time. Actually started shooting in Constant Hall, which is an academic hall there at Old Dominion. Now, the all-clear sign has been given. There is no longer an active threat to the community campus. There are two people that were injured, and they are in critical condition at a local hospital, according to the university spokespeople. The University Police, Norfolk, Virginia Police, and emergency personnel responded almost immediately, but in the wake of it, the university has canceled classes and operations on its main campus. Again, the shooter was taken down. So unfortunately, and you don't know where any of this stuff stops, but now it's closer to home as far as a Sun Belt school goes.
It doesn't seem to ever stop.
No, but this is the first time that a Sun Belt school has been affected. So,
All right. Well, our prayers to all the folks up there at ODU. It's just a senseless and unexplainable situation that develops. It's hard to put words to it, really. You know, so. All right, let's talk about a little something more pleasant, but interesting, I think. You guys brought this up. I heard y'all talking about it. Laid the groundwork here, Damon. You guys a little concerned about a mid-major program maybe taking it on the chin a little bit.
Yeah, you know, obviously this is a champ week, as you called it, with NCAA basketball, and there's a lot of bubble teams that are trying to make the field to get into the tournament. Miami of Ohio being one of them. They were 31-0 coming into the tournament this week in the MAC, and they were on the bubble to get into the NCAA tournament with a 31-0 record, and they lost this afternoon to UMass, I believe, who knocked them. It's their first loss. They lost by 3 points to UMass, and now people are saying that they shouldn't get in the tournament, and I just think as a mid-major show, we should probably advocate a lot for Miami of Ohio to be in the field with a 31-0 record.
How could it even be a question?
I mean, it's all scheduling. I mean, who you're playing.
But here's what I would argue, though, too. You remember with Southern Miss, when Donnie Tindall was coaching here, there was one of his seasons that the Eagles had won over 30 games. Mm-hmm. And everybody was talking then, well, surely that would be good enough. Because always the number 30 always stuck out, that if you win 30 games during the regular season, whether you win your conference tournament or not, which obviously Miami of Ohio is not going to win their tournament. They lost in the quarterfinals. But if you win 30 games, even if you don't win your conference tournament, you hit the magic number, you ought to be in the field. Mm-hmm. Well, not only did Southern Miss that year not get in the field, they were the sixth or seventh seed in the NIT
after the year before they had made it to like the final eight of the NIT.
So that's why I would say that's what worries me about Miami of Ohio is that
They no, picked, it wouldn't surprise me a bit to have been knocked out.
And, yeah.
And the fact that in this scenario now, you're going to have the potential of having two MAC teams in the field because the winner of the tournament automatically gets in. So are they going to let the MAC have two bids if to let Miami of Ohio in? I think that's a discussion.
And here's another caveat, and this kind of frosts a lot of people's rear ends. You know, do you leave Miami of Ohio out at, let's just say they ended the season today at 31 and 1. But then you put in an SEC team with a 17, yeah, 17 and 15 record or a Big 12 team.
That would surprise you?
With a, it wouldn't, unfortunately, but I'm saying that's the...
You know, in another sport, I remember just a few years back, Jackson State, as I recall, went undefeated in baseball.
Yes.
And lost the last game of the SWAC tournament.
That's
true. They lost one baseball game all year long and did not get in the NCAA tournament.
That's exactly what happened. So, and when you looked at some of the other teams that did get in,
Wrong.
You're going, come on, what's the justification?
And you know the bad
there?
Thing, guys, that's one thing that has always made college basketball and the NCAA tournament, I think, so popular, is you had a lot of smaller schools in. There was always a couple of Cinderella schools that made those runs. It would seem to me that for the good of the game, you would want a 31-1 Miami of Ohio in, because that is a great story.
I remember a couple, and time gets away from you after a while, but Florida Gulf Coast, didn't they? They had a team like that got into the Final Eight or something like that, and everybody was going, "Man, this is cool." You know, cool. Nobody's ever heard of these guys; have never gotten to play in that spotlight, and gave them an opportunity. But we'll see. Would I put them in? Yes. I would, but something tells me
they won't
that they won't get in. And this same talking point will be discussed Sunday evening after the field has been announced.
Southern Miss, I want to turn heads to baseball really quickly. Of course I would. But this guy posted for College Baseball Central kind of the first bracketology that I've seen as far as the field of 64 for college baseball. Southern Miss, the sixth seed in his projected regional projections. That would mean they would have the national seed and be able to host a super regional in that scenario, which they have never been a national seed in program history. Arkansas, the two seed here in Hattiesburg, along with Louisville and Bryant as the four seed. So what an awesome regional that would be. And they would be, according to this, paired with the North Carolina regional. So if North Carolina were to come out of that, you would have a North Carolina Southern Miss here in Hattiesburg for the super if Southern Miss were to win that regional. Some other teams to get regionals, Texas, TCU. I can't even read some of these graphics. USC, Oklahoma, Georgia Tech, Georgia, Auburn, Virginia, Mississippi State, Florida, Southern Miss, North Carolina, Clemson, A&M, UCLA, and Florida State. So that would be your one seeds. Ole Miss as a two seed in the Clemson regional is what they project. So just some – and Louisiana Tech in, Raging Cajuns in, Coastal in. Just reading off teams that I see off the top of my head that would all interest us. But
well,
you see Santa Barbara in as well.
So. Louisiana Tech's going to have to get back on the track, boys, because the Eagles kind of sent them reeling.
I think the Southern Miss baseball team crushed their souls.
And they just haven't recovered.
No, they have
since
not,
then.
They have not recovered.
But wouldn't it be so cool to have Arkansas here in Hattiesburg for a regional? I mean, that would be fun.
Suey Pig.
But something I noticed that was very interesting there, Dima Mixon, no mention of the Bayou Bengals of LSU.
Well, they're in it. I just didn't see them off the top. No. They're in the Florida. They're in the Tallahassee regional as a two seed. But I really do think if LSU is a two seed, they're coming to Hattiesburg.
Oh, God.
I would think it's either them or – you know they're going to do it, Bob. It'll be LSU or Ole Miss here.
Bob hates LSU.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, they wouldn't –
just think, oh,
you
God.
Think those people in that room would even think twice about sending LSU or Ole Miss here?
I don't.
And I know that the beer distributors love it when LSU
– I would prefer to send Ole Miss here. The obnoxious nature of the LSU fans was just a little much for three consecutive days.
Tell you what, both those teams don't scare me, though. I mean, USM can definitely beat both those teams, but
and you realize that if Coach Osterhender
scares me.
If, by the way, Southern Miss is like 1-for-3 in the past like 4 seasons in the opening round of the regional. So if they should probably just focus on Bryant or whoever it is that 4 seed, because they got to win that game.
I'm real confident about this weekend. I'm terrified about next Tuesday night.
You know,
Nichols rematch.
If Coach Ostrander and his staff listen to this show either live or on the podcast, you know they're freaking out. They're talking about regionals. We haven't even started conference play yet.
He certainly won't talk to you about the World Series. He'll just go one game at a time. One game at a time. So that's the way it has to be, though.
And actually, tomorrow on the show, Dima, we'll have somebody that knows a lot about Arkansas State. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. We'll have Kara Ritchie on the show, and she is a radio host out there at Arkansas State. She's been doing it for a while for the Ticket Radio Network. Good. Really good work, and she'll be on the show tomorrow to kind of preview Arkansas State. She had a nice interview with Mike Silva.
Real quick question for you, Dima Mixon, as we head to the break. Barring a total collapse, have the Golden Eagles secured a host spot?
Oh, yeah. No, it's. Yeah. I mean, you're not even close. I mean, you're probably right. Not even near the bubble right now, barring 20 wins in conference, you're locked.
But
for
are you talking about a regular regional or a super regional?
Regular regional.
He's talking about top 16, but this team is in line for a top 8, and it's really in contention.
One of the reasons they're doing so good is the kid named Kyle Morrison, who transferred here from South Alabama. We're going to talk to him next on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Second segment of our program every day, sponsored by our good buddies out at Eagle Tire West, Highway 98 West. Matt Warren and his gang sell Goodyear products, full-service auto and truck service. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full-service, big Southern Miss supporters, as is Genesis of Hattiesburg. And we sure appreciate Kevin and Mr. Grubbs, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. And that's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Golden Eagle baseball heading out today to Jonesboro, Arkansas. A nice little drive up there. I think about five and a half hour bus ride up into the northeast corner of the state of Arkansas. And Dima, one guy that'll play a big role clearly this weekend, has all year so far, is the South Al transfer Kyle Morrison. Kind of set the table for Kyle Morrison's interview here.
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably overperformed of what I was expecting from him. Of course, I knew he was a good player, but, you know, he's a guy who chases fastballs and can really take a fastball out of the park. And that's why I really didn't understand him starting the year off in the leadoff role, because I just thought that you needed him in that 5-6 hole to, you know, see more fastballs. And, you know, I think there's an argument to move him up to maybe the 3 or 4 hole with how well he's swinging the bat right now. And with, you know, Russo struggling and, you know, Gillespie's had some good moments, but still kind of struggling in that 3 and 4 role. So I would consider moving him up. Really good bat, really good size. And I think his defensive play at second has also surprised me as well. You know, when you lose Monastere, you know, there's a real big question right there. And he's really made some great plays. Of course, there's been some mistakes, but he's made some great plays. He's been fine there.
Well, you come to the team from South Alabama, jump in and start making an immediate contribution. What's this travel been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. All the guys are great. I mean, I'm an older guy, so, I mean, I come in here and mingle with all the older guys, even though that can be hard, you know, with especially some guys that have been here for a long time. But, yeah, I just want to come in and make an impact, especially on the younger group, you know, as I move on after this year and, you know, just hope, you know, I can impact their life in a positive way. So that's really a big thing for me.
You came from a really solid program in South Alabama with a really good baseball tradition. But what have been the differences that you've experienced in the programs to this point?
A big thing, I mean, obviously is the fan base. I think you average a little over 5,000 fans a night. But, no, I mean, just how in-depth and how into detail Coach Rhodes and Coach Oz and, you know, Coach Creel and all those guys go into with you. I know they've helped me tremendously along with this team. So, yeah, that's just a big thing of – how in detail and how the little things they expect and they want done. So
I know when you came here, you had to win that job at second base. What was your mindset that you brought to your arrival?
Yeah, I mean, just be very coachable and, you know, play wherever the team needs me. They told me they wanted me to play second base, so my job was to be the best second baseman that I could possibly be. So that was a big thing for me. It's just trying to be very coachable, obviously learning a new position, but, yeah, just trying to be the best second baseman that I can be.
So it's a pretty good start. First month, you guys are in every major top 10 poll, number one RPI in the country. The mindset must be really positive.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, I mean, we do look at that stuff, obviously, because it's, you know, kind of everywhere, all over social media. But, I mean, within us, we don't let it really get to us. I mean, the most important game is the one on the next on the schedule. So, like, the most important game is the one tomorrow against Ole Miss. So, yeah, I mean, it is pretty cool, especially for the fans to be able to be ranked that high and all that. But, yeah, I mean, we just kind of just look at it one day at a time and just keep playing baseball.
Your mindset, what are goals have you set for yourself here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really set, like, personal goals. I just feel like as long as I work hard and as long as I leave everything out on the field, then those goals, they kind of just take care of themselves. You know, whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen. So I just want to be the best teammate, the best player, and that I can be, and help this team win as many games as possible.
And I know you've kind of moved up and down in the lineup. Coach Oz told us earlier today he thinks you're naturally a three-hole hitter, but it's really nice to be able to move you down because you have a three-hole hitter basically later in the lineup. You have any preferences?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, wherever the team needs me most. I know Coach Oz came up to me earlier in the year and asked if I hit leadoff, so I hit there for a little bit and then got moved, I think, to the seven and now the six. So, yeah, just wherever the team needs me most, I'm just going to step up to the plate and do my thing.
All right, obviously a player of your talent could have gone to a lot of different schools. What is it about this school that made you want to come be a Golden Eagle?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we played here last year when I was at South Owl, you know, the fan base, it was awesome. I've always wanted, for a community to buy in, you know, to the baseball program. And I got to experience it firsthand when we came here last year. And, everything about this place was just awesome, man, the way they carried themselves on and off the field, how it was just first class. So, yeah, when they came and knocked on my door, I knew it was a place I wanted to be.
Interesting perspective to see the Pete when it's all riled up from the opponent's viewpoint. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different view. I know last year as I was on deck, I had three guys sitting on top of the on-deck circle, and they were absolutely hammering me all game. They had done found my mom's name, my girlfriend's name, you know, so they were doing all that stuff. But, yeah, it's a totally different point of view, and especially for that bullpen down there for the opposing pitcher that's about to come in. I know that lounge gives him some, so, yeah, it's a different perspective for sure.
All right, now, my man, you're telling me they talked about your mama and your girlfriend and you still wanted to come here.
Yeah, man, I knew when I committed here, a lot of people, they were texting me. They were like, you know, I'm glad you're on this side now. So I figured it was going to be all right, but, yeah, it was pretty fun.
It was all in good fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
All right, your expectations for the rest of the year for this ball club, because expectations are through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, we just have an old, mature team, especially with a lineup and a great pitching staff, along with great freshmen that pitch in that pitching staff. So, yeah, I mean, just win as many ball games as we can. Just stay focused and, you know, not let that all the outside noise get to you. And, you know, just take it a day by day at a time and just let, you know, the rest happen.
We're delighted you're here. Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, Kelly, I just find it hard to believe that Southern Miss fans would have been giving anybody the Jazz. I mean, that was the one thing I found a little hard to swallow.
Is there nothing we won't do as fans? Are we not shameless?
Talked about the boys' mama for 3 days.
Those were fighting days, or fighting words back in our day, weren't they, Bob? You can talk about anything, but you don't talk about your mother.
Right? Dave, it's safe to say that this has probably at this point been the most productive transfer they got.
Oh, I mean, outside of Camden Clark, I mean, you would say more than likely, definitely. You know, you really want to see some production from Caleb Stelly. I mean, that's the guy that everybody's just kind of waiting on. I mean, he's a 300 hitter almost everywhere he's been, and he's just been really struggling here. And Ostrander and Travis Creel have been saying, you know, well, it's because he missed the fall, you know, but He did hit some bats well, but yeah, I mean, Kyle Morrison, I think he's honestly overperformed, you know, to a certain extent. It's not that I say he's a bad player, but I just didn't expect him to be a, what is he, 7-8 home run guy already right now. Yeah, so, yeah. But looking ahead to this weekend at Arkansas State, on paper, both these teams almost equal in almost every single stat. If you know, I was looking down team comparison yesterday, almost identical ERA, almost identical batting average, almost identical stolen bases, almost identical you know, home runs, almost they have a little bit more doubles than Southern Miss, but you know, when you look at all the stats, it's almost identical except for one: strength of schedule. And you know, I think it what we saw at Louisiana Tech, I think, has the potential of showing up in Jonesboro, where, you know, the numbers look great, and I'm sure it's an improved team, but Southern Miss is just a completely different animal than the teams that Arkansas State has played. Now, granted, they beat Arkansas, like the Razorbacks. They beat Arkansas. They should have beat Ole Miss. So they have more resume wins than Louisiana Tech did, and they also wiped the floor with Louisiana Tech two nights in a row. So I do think Arkansas State's better than Louisiana Tech. Three lefties, guys, that they're going to be rolling out, all of them kind of in that, you know, scary Southern Miss, you know, fan, you know, that 88 to 90 fastball with the 75, you know, changeup.
I don't like that.
That, you know, that's generally been the kryptonite for these, for Southern Miss's offense. And as we discussed on the show yesterday, right now, kind of the question mark for Southern Miss is the offense. When is it going to start rolling to where we think it can? So it's kind of like Southern Miss's apparent question mark might be going against a strength for Arkansas State.
I always wonder about atmosphere, too. You go from an atmosphere that these guys played in Tuesday night, and you go up there, and I don't, maybe I'm wrong about this, but then there are 500 people in the stands. That's got to be pretty tough, Kelly. I mean, you can't tell me that doesn't have some effect.
Not if you don't know any different. I mean, if
no, but our guys do know.
Oh,
different,
our well,
saying.
It would work in our guys' favor,
right?
You think so?
Yeah, for sure, because they don't have the guys calling your mother out by name and your girlfriend.
Yeah, you can just go out there and play baseball.
Yeah, be relaxed and.
But I still don't believe our fans would do anything like that.
Shameless, man, and I wouldn't have it any other. Have it any other way.
It just makes me proud when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah, and this is a guy, too, that that, as I think Travis Creel was telling us, he's got the bench press record, right?
Yeah, the strongest kid on the team.
Yeah, and Dima, you suffered a handshake from him, right?
Every time I shake his hand at it, I look and make sure my hand's still on my arm. Yeah. So.
And we should point out, we did that interview Monday afternoon. That's normally when we go to practice. And that next night, he hit a tying home run to answer Ole Miss when they jumped out, and I thought that was a huge moment, Damon, to immediately answer him.
Yep, and actually called that. I'll shameless plug, I said he's about to hit a homer, and he did, because he just hits fastballs well, and that's really the pitch he gets out of the park almost every time, and Ole Miss was throwing so many fastballs the other night.
And the word will get out.
Hard fastballs.
Yeah. The word will get out to stop throwing him fastballs.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why they moved him out of the leadoff role, though.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, good news for a former Southern Miss Golden Eagle football player who got a big job promotion yesterday, Tracy Lampley, next on the Eagle Hour. All right, everybody, DBAT sponsors the third segment of the Eagle Hour. That's where you go for baseball, softball, and adult sports training. It's a beautiful facility down on Hardy Street. State-of-the-art with a great pro shop and a lot of camps and upcoming activities all summer long for the kids when school is out, so check them out. As for Luke Reynolds, he's the GM down at DBAT. We really appreciate all that Luke does to support our program. As we do Forest Healthcare, who reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Those things will help you accomplish that. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. All right, unable to talk to Tracy Lampley. We just did talk to him, but he is tied up at the moment. Just got a head coaching job, Kelly. I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, he had been an assistant football coach at Ocean Springs High School, and the Wayne County job came open. Of course, he's familiar certainly with that area, and especially called school board meeting a couple of days ago, and Lamp was named the head coach at Wayne County. It's interesting, Bob, you know, Wayne County's been down a couple of years, which they were always in the mix with Wes Jones and some of the, I mean, they were always in the discussion for a state championship, and being down by their standards last couple of years, you talk to people in Wayne County and they'll say the hierarchy of importance as far as jobs go in the Wayne County School District, number three principal at the high school. Number two, superintendent of the entire district. Mm. Number one, head football coach at Wayne County. So Lamp has been the guy. So he'll be leaving Ocean Springs to go to Wayne County. He's actually meeting with his coaches as we speak. So good for him. Of course, he had some great plays in his career.
He really did. You know, of course, one of the best games that I remember him playing in was the 2011 Conference USA Championship game against Houston. A couple of big plays in that game. Was fortunate enough to be at that game. One of my all-time favorite Southern Miss football, you know, games of, that I've ever watched with my own eyes. So,
the Houston game.
Houston,
Well, he played here from 2009 to 2012. He's listed in the guide here as one of the most versatile players in Southern Miss history. 4,498 all-purpose yards, played in 49 games in 4 years, started out as a running back, took over punt and kick duties, as Dima just indicated, as a true freshman, and set the school record for punt returns, punt return yards in a game with 211 punt return yards against Marshall. That was a that was a pretty good day, and obviously he went on to have a great career playing for Jeff Bauer and played at Wayne County High School, if I'm not mistaken, and now he goes back and is the head coach of his alma mater.
Yeah, that's pressure, though, man. I mean, and even at the college level, you hear people say, well, we want one of our own, and they love that, unless you start losing somewhere down the line, and then that seems to go out the window.
I want to get back on basketball for just a minute. We have heard nothing really from Coach Ladner or the administration since the end of the year. Since
we have reached out, let that be known.
Your speculation. Do you want to share your speculative thoughts as to what may be in the works here?
I mean, you have to assume that, you know, he's for sure coming back at this juncture. You know, we saw yesterday with Iowa State, right? Didn't they wipe the floor with Arizona State? And then almost 30 minutes after the game, Arizona State fired their coach. So I just really feel like if you see a change in coaching, that would be announced pretty soon after the game that they would have lost to Troy. Now, if there was a scenario where he potentially decided to step away and retired or something along those lines, which I don't foresee because he was talking to us about going to Iowa State next year, certain things like that, that could be something that was announced at a later date. So I think the only two options is that, or he's coming back. And again, we have reached out to the administration to try to get confirmation. And as soon as we get that, I will tweet that and have a story on that, because I know that everybody's just kind of sitting here kind of waiting about to see what happens.
Well, and to further that point, if you're going to make a move, you want to make it as early as possible,
right?
Because any other coaches that might be available are still available, right? If you wait, then a lot of those coaches get snatched up, unless you have somebody in mind that nobody else has on their radar. But if there's somebody that you want to go after and they're available, you want to do it almost immediately. So my guess as well, especially with the way that they finished, had a good run in the tournament. I don't think many people could argue that they weren't playing their best basketball right at the very end of the year. Obviously, everybody wants to win a national championship and all those sorts of things. But under the circumstances, a better question might be asked is, was not enough done for him to keep his job? And I don't think you could say that. I mean, I mean, you could, but say it and mean it. I just don't think you could. So
I think Dima's point's well taken. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the question is, I think Coach Ladner has one more year on his contract. I know there was a time that automatically another year rolled over, but I don't think that's the case anymore. So the question, I think this is the only question. Will they announce that Coach Ladner's coming back next year and then evaluate the program at the end of the year, or would they extend it a second year?
I would be incredibly surprised if they were to extend his contract this season, the end of this season. If that does happen, that would be I think a lot of people would want some answers on that. I mean, when you look at – and, of course, we love Jay Ladner, and he's
a wonderful
– We wish him as a person to be the best. But, I mean, when you just look at his – his resume as head coach at Southern Miss. First year, 9-22. Second year, 8-17. Third year, 7-26. He had obviously the really good year in 2022, 23, 25-8. 16-16. 24-25 was 11-22. This season, you know, 19-16. So, two winning seasons and 7 years as the head coach. I mean, I think fans at this juncture are just wondering, you know, and I hate to put anybody at this pedigree, but like, how much does the administration care about men's basketball? I think is the fans have the right to kind of ask that, saying like, is this what is good enough to keep yourself as a head coach here at Southern Mississippi as men's basketball? And, you know, it's hard for me to have an opinion on it because I can see both sides. And I've said that this whole season, that I can see both sides between, you know, whatever. Everybody wants a coaching change. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants new. But sometimes new isn't always the answer.
Correct.
Right? So, but I think fans have an argument, Kelly, in saying, is that record, whatever that would end up being, it's under 500, of course, is that good enough to stay here?
And that, by answering that question, would tell you where they are on the feeling meter.
Exactly, but right. That's what I'm saying, because it all coincides. It's not a Jay Ladner question, in my opinion. It's whether or not that record and that resume is good enough for him to come back. And if that's what they think is good enough for him to come back, then you'd have to think, Kelly, that their interest in college basketball isn't as high. I think that's reasonable to say.
And then you've got fans that always have the glass half empty, saying, well, who are you going to get that's going to do any better? And then the people with the glass half full say, that should not be your attitude. Who are you going to get that's going to do any better?
But
this isn't good enough.
But wouldn't you agree that him coming back is an indication of how much the administration cares about college basketball, their men's basketball program?
I don't know if it's that cut and dried, because he's under contract. And if you were to make a move, then you're going to have to write a big check. The point about extension is certainly valid, but in this day and age with the transfer portal, other teams can't use that as a recruiting tool against you. Hey, your coach, you know, may be gone after next year. Well, I'm a player. I'm right. Probably going to be gone after next year. When the next school comes along with a bigger paycheck, I'm leaving.
I'm trying to speak for the fans, but in my opinion, I think he should be back. I think he deserves. I think this season was, we all said it was a make or break season for him this year. And I think he did enough to come back next season. That's my opinion, and that's just where I stand on it.
I concur with that.
But, you know, fans don't share that opinion, and I see that all across social media, that they do not share that opinion, that they think that Jay Ladner should be back. So, you know, we have to at least acknowledge that, I think. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. Now, to basketball, as far as what Jay can do next season, if everything is in cards, well, like we think it is, of him coming back, you know, he has players that he has the possibility of getting back on that roster next season for them to have
important players.
Tyleek Weeks being one of them, Isaac Tavares being another one of them. If he could get one of those guys back, you know, obviously best case scenario two, you would have a really good base for being a pretty good team next year.
And when you look at Jay's social media, he's putting out words that certainly he wouldn't be if there was any question as to whether he was coming back. It seems to me a certainty that he is. Now, no school, including Southern Miss, is going to go out and make a statement, our coach is coming back next year. Well, he's under contract, so there's no reason to make a statement that he is coming back. The only way that any school would make an announcement, like Arizona State yesterday, is if their coach is not coming back.
Right.
Louisiana Monroe earlier this week.
Hey, MCS Home Center reminds you, for repair, remodeling, construction, they've got everything you need. MCS Home Center is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West. And, of course, the famous home of the Peepers.
The Peeper reading glasses, the best in the world.
MCS Home Center. We'll be back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
We really appreciate you listening every day. We truly do. I want to remind you about our podcast. If you don't catch the show live, you can always hear it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri. We'll play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. This segment is sponsored by our dear friends at Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West. The place to go with your gold, your silver, your old coins, your old jewelry that maybe you're just not wearing anymore. Maybe you want some cash. Maybe you just find it a better idea to have some money in your pocket than old jewelry and in your jewelry case. We'll take you to Jewel Masters. Marty Vick was an expert at analyzing the value of gold, silver, and fine jewelry. He's been doing it longer than anyone in Hattiesburg. Don't be fooled by other people that may tell you different. Marty Vick has done it longer than anybody in Hattiesburg. And it's always confidential. It's always fast. It's always easy at Jewel Masters, and you'll always walk out the front door with top dollar for your gold, for your silver, for your old coins, and your old jewelry. And we're very, very grateful to Jewel Masters for coming on board the Super Talk Eagle Hour. News and notes, Damon.
I think we're throwing it over to Kelly. He's got the softball results from last night.
Yeah, so Jewel Masters is still with us, Bob, huh?
Well, I think that just didn't hear yesterday.
Okay, well, thank goodness. I probably shouldn't have brought it up. Mm-hmm. Bad news for the Lady Eagles softball team. Excuse me, the Eagles. I guess the Lady Eagles, only the basketball team uses that term,
yep.
Right? Lady Eagles.
Correct.
The Southern Miss women's softball team defeated last night down at Southeastern 11-3. It only took six innings for the Lady Lions to get that game. They 13 hits last night the Lady Lions put up. 11-3 was the final score. Southern Miss drops to 18-10 overall. Southeastern 19-9. They've got a good team down there in Hammond. Madeline Graham took the loss, and that's the slinger from Stringer, his daughter. But her record is still 5-2 even after that loss. Now, coming up this weekend, while the men are up at Arkansas State, the ladies are in Hattiesburg to begin Sun Belt Conference play against the Cajuns of Louisiana. First pitch Friday the 13th.
That's
tomorrow.
Scary.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock for the first pitch tomorrow. And then on Saturday, the first pitch is at 2. Sunday, the first pitch is at 1. So men and women opening conference play this weekend for Southern Miss.
Very fun. Yeah, I mean, it should be. You know, when you think about Arkansas State, you thought that this team had the ability with Mike Silva, to start turning that corner and being, you know, what Mike Silva led Nichols to be. And then at Arkansas State, obviously improvement. I expect a really good Arkansas State team this weekend, but of course this is by far the best team they've played in a weekend series so far. So
I think it kind of goes back when you arranged the D1 interview with us a couple of weeks ago. It was before the Louisiana Tech series, and he said, you know, yeah, Louisiana Tech's really good. They've been playing very well, but they haven't faced what they're going to face this weekend. Think that same scenario plays out?
It does. I will say that that sentiment is true, but it does not mean that the team can't win.
No.
I think it's a measuring stick of how good Arkansas State is. We know what Southern Miss is. Like, we don't have any questions about Southern Miss going into this game as far as, like, what they are. But Arkansas State has a ton of questions. While their numbers are good, this is a nice measuring stick to see how good they really are. You know, can they take 2 out of 3 against Southern Miss? I don't know. Could they? They might. You never know.
And you certainly don't want to overlook Arkansas State when you've got Nichols
on the horizon
up next week.
They're coming.
The giant killers of Nichols.
Don't be looking ahead, guys.
No, that's what I'm saying. And that'll be down at the Shuckers ballpark, right?
Yeah. Yeah, down in Biloxi Tuesday night. That'll be a good excuse to go eat seafood and then watch the Golden Eagles play baseball.
Well, the next time that they'll be in our area, certainly, Tuesday. Yep. And then the
Trojans coming into town next weekend, so.
The media darling, Troy.
They're not even 500. They're like 6-10.
Yeah, they're not.
You got to wonder.
You
what's
said that about
going
measuring
on.
Sticks, and you know, Mike Bianca said that earlier this week that Tuesday night game would be a measuring stick for his club. What did he learn? We haven't talked about them. What do you think Mike Bianca learned Tuesday night?
I thought he learned that they have an exceptionally good bullpen. I think that bullpen is probably the best Southern Miss has, you know, one of the better bullpens that Southern Miss has played all season outside of, a couple. Those guys, every one of them are throwing in the mid-90s. And I think, you know, he just has some questions with his offense. Now, granted, Southern Miss's pitching is really, really good. And I thought that Ole Miss, I thought that Southern Miss would be the best pitching staff that Ole Miss has faced up to that point. But, I mean, I think he saw his team and said, listen, we have a good team. Which it's pretty crazy to think, Ole Miss using Southern Miss as a measuring stick.
Don't you love it?
And I think it's true. I mean, Southern Miss was the better team. I don't think you can even argue it.
Right.
So in the overall, I'm not asking for specific numbers, but in the overall standings in that conference that Ole Miss and State play in, where do you think they shake out at the end of the regular season?
I think they're, 7-8, somewhere in that 7-8, which gets them in conversation to host, so.
Of course.
Well, does. I mean, it's just true. I mean, that SEC in baseball is really good. You have to acknowledge that.
Well, it's true. But, I mean, I think that I want to say I read just the other day that the Sun Belt is one game below 500 against the SEC so far this year. I believe that's correct.
And Ole Miss going to Austin this weekend to hook 'em horns, right?
And so.
Well, there's a challenge.
Yeah. And State headed to Arkansas. That should be an interesting
series. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little challenged this weekend.
Yeah, it should be a really fun
from
weekend.
The Magnolia State.
Like all of us three hosts, we've been challenged for many years.
Well, especially one of us, that is for sure. And I won't mention any names. Will you, Dima?
But his initials are Kelly Santa, right? Yeah.
It sounds a lot like jelly.
You talking about my stomach again?
Yeah, shakes like one.
Yeah.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.